We have Corinne Hill, the executive director of the Chattanooga Public Library, with us, and also the 2014 Librarian of the Year. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
And thanks for coming by.
Oh, absolutely. I love it.
So tell us, you know, when and how you got the notification from the was it from the Library Journal that you were the Librarian of the Year?
Yeah, Library Journal is our industry journal, obviously. And I was driving to my parents for Thanksgiving when they called, and I had just pulled in for gas, so it worked out really well. And they called me. Rebecca called me from Library Journal to give me the news, which was really, I was just. And in very odd, I was speechless, and I'm not usually, that's not something that I do very well, right? So finding me speechless was pretty amazing. So it was really cool. Yeah, so she called me on the phone.
So you had no idea that you were even nominated.
Right. And she told me it was my staff that nominated me, which was like so amazing. That to me was huge. When it sunk in, I mean, it's pretty amazing. You're just like, holy moly. You know, what am I supposed to do with this, right? And then I'm a girl, so then it was like, because they said, oh, there's going to be this photo shoot, and you're going to be on the cover. And I'm like, I said, Rebecca, what do I wear? What am I going to wear? And so it was just, so it quickly, you know, moved into logistics of making it go.
You've said that one of your goals was to make a library that the community wants.
Absolutely.
And how is a librarian, how do you identify that?
Let the community identify that for me. Everywhere I've ever worked, that's always been my goal, is that the library reflects whoever that library serves, whatever that community looks like. And I've worked in lots of libraries in lots of different places with lots of different communities. And so you just really have to put yourself out there, and you have to meet people, and you have to ask them. And what I've discovered in Chattanooga is if you ask them, they will tell you. This is a community that has no problems telling you what they want. That's amazing. I love that.
And you came here, what year was it?
It'll be 2 years, February 19th.
So what were the questions you were asking?
Oh, I mean, what do you want? They want a place where they can meet. They want collaborative space. They want popular materials. They want the stuff that they want to read, and they want it now. They want stuff that they want to watch and view and listen to. Basically, they wanted an environment that was comfortable, that was inviting, a place where they wanted to come and stay. They didn't want to come and just pick up a book and leave.
The Library Journal recognizes that you're transforming, or you and your staff are transforming the Chattanooga Public Library. If you could, would you describe maybe what the library, Chattanooga Public Library, was 3 or 4 years ago?
When I arrived, what I found was a facility that had been neglected. One of the first things I did when I came was I had the entire downtown branch power washed and cleaned it up and got the fountain started. That kind of aesthetic, just make it look like somebody cares about the facility that we all work in and use. So I found a facility that had been neglected. I found a collection that was what I would call a really typical, for lack of a better word, old-fashioned collection, where the librarians bought materials that were important to the collection, not necessarily important to the community. And the example I always use, and this is not a real example from Chattanooga Public Library, but the example I use because I encountered it in other places is, I just spent my last $90 on, you know, the 11th translation of Euripides, because that's really important, because no one's done a translation of Euripides in 27 years, and it's important to our collection. No one's going to look at it, but it's an important.
Right.
So I saw a lot of that kind of collecting going on and money being spent in that way. So we had it had an amazing reference collection that no one used. But you had to pay to get a bestseller. It was so counterintuitive to what I think a public library should be. And now what we've done is ask the community, if you come in or you go online and you don't find what you want, you're looking for a particular title or an author, whatever it is, regardless of the format, if you don't find it, we'll buy it for you. And I can get it to you about as quickly as if you went home and bought it on Amazon.
And it's also you came in and you hired a brand new staff.
Not totally. I hired some talent, some amazing, smart, really fun, cool people from all over the country, and basically embedded them throughout the system so that their expertise and their passion for what they do starts to rub off on the other staff. I do have people on staff who have very much stepped up to the plate and have embraced the concept of all of these changes.
And you've said, too, that you want to manage a library in a way that you had wanted to be managed in the past.
Absolutely.
Kind of talk about that.
Okay, absolutely. I don't do well when I'm micromanaged, and I don't do well when I'm overmanaged, right? I don't do well in those environments. I do really well when you tell me, you know what, Corinne, I really think we should move in this direction and we need to do this, and I'm off. And I want to manage my staff that way. Now I have, and that's what I do. It's like you come in, I want to have an amazing youth services department. I really want to focus on early childhood literacy so that when these kids start school, if they've been with us through preschool years, that when they go to school, they're ready to learn and they're ready to learn to read. And my youth people are off. And they touch base with me and we come back and we make sure we're on track and we're staying on it. But I'm not standing over them saying, now here's how we're going to get there. I have to give up some control. I have to, and I've given it up to the customers with selection, and I'm giving it up to the staff in help having them with their creativity and expertise help us set the direction and help us get there.
And it seems that, that's the kind of management that a library should have, someone that has their own space to do what they want.
Oh, but librarians, oh my, we're so controlling. And
really?
Oh, my Lord, yes, you know, and like, oh, I mean, and it's just the nature of our business. I mean, we're very, you know, obsessive, compulsive, and it has to be in order, and it, you know, that, you know, Dewey Decimal, and it's, you know, I mean, just the types of people who are drawn to that are very obsessive and then very organized and want their environments controlled. So it's not as common as you would think.
Library Journal, of course, they awarded you the honor of the Librarian of the Year. And you've also helped, and your staff has helped transform the library into being part of this techno hub, which Chattanooga is. You've got the 3D printer. Mm-hmm. You've got the ebook downloads. You've got the fourth floor Open Chattanooga movement going on. Now, you were talking about, where do we go from now? I mean, you talked about focusing on the youth here in Chattanooga.
The next 12 months, we're definitely focusing on our services to 0 to 18. And we're redesigning the second floor of the main library, which is going to be, I think it's going to be phenomenal. We're almost done with the design. And what we're doing, while the floor is the same size as the fourth floor, it's another 14,000 square feet. It's huge. While we said that floor is 0 to 18 and you have to be accompanied by a child in order to be there.
Interesting.
Yes, you cannot, you must be accompanied, a child must bring you to that floor. But we're designing it not so much by age, but by service. So when we have a film and music studio, which we want, then the fact that you're 8 years old and you're into music, I'm not going to make you wait until you're a teen to participate in that. So really trying to meld those age groups together where they're mentoring each other and they're helping each other and they're interacting with each other based on the things that they're interested in, not on their age group. And I'm a big believer in having that space be a learning environment, but they learn through doing and they learn through play and they learn through discovery in a much less traditional kind of environment, like the little kids area, the little ones, really trying to create a safe environment, getting that shelving out of there, putting the books in bins. You know, that's how, at a two-year-old's height, how about that, that they can go and they're looking for truck books. I don't need Dewey for three-year-olds.
Right.
Right? I just don't. So they want truck books. So let's put all the truck books in a bin and there you go.
Why is it important to have a space in the library for the youth? I mean, it seems like an obvious question, but with maybe an obvious answer, but well, as a librarian,
you know, we have different areas for different folks. Like we've got our geek space up on the fourth floor that you kind of want to hang out with your own. You know, these are people, these are my people. They understand me. And being able to create a space and say that this is your space, that's really important. You know, one of the things that I like to talk about is the library as third space. And having a space that's for the reader, having a space that's for the youth, having a space that's for the geeks, you know, that there's something, having, you know, there's something to be said for that, because then the space, it's designed to fit the needs of that person. So the readers are going to have comfortable chairs and nice reading lights and that sort of an environment, right? And the youth, you need to be able to let them do, they need quiet space, but they also want a place where they can do stuff. And they're very crafty at middle, you know, the tween period. They need space to do that kind of stuff. And it just feels natural.
Something that's interesting to me is, I'm sure maybe as when you were younger, even when I was younger, that library seemed to be the space for bookworms, for books. But now it's becoming a space beyond the book. It's for video games, it's for computers, it's for et cetera. I don't know if I can develop a question out of that, but could it be become more than even that in the future? I mean, what else could we expect the library to be?
Absolutely. And, you know, I always talk about how, you know, libraries have been around for 3,000 years and we still have the same mission, which is learning and information. And but the reason we've survived as long as we have is that we transition really well. And, you know, we went from, you know, tablets to paper to audio to, you know, video to downloadable. You know, we're really good at adapting. So the library that we all remember and we love and we adore, and you remember the smell of it, and we were just big old warehouses of books. Because back in the, you know, 60s and the 70s, publishing was really starting to take off. There was a lot of concern about how are we have to keep all this stuff. We've got to save it. This is really, really important stuff. That's why we have like these big monster buildings in most of our cities that were built in the 1970s so that we could accommodate this exploding publishing world that we were encountering. And our role was to preserve it, to save it. Well, who knew that publishing was just going to blow up the way it did, right? I mean, there's no way anyone can keep all this stuff. I mean, there's so much publication. It devalued itself. So the idea of us being these huge warehouses of books in the last decade has really lost its appeal. And so as we move into a downloadable environment, we're watching our collections get smaller. We're moving away from being a warehouse, so we are able to remove items that haven't been touched in a very long time. And why should we use taxpayer money to store stuff that no one wants?
Well, I think that's a great way to end it. 2014 Librarian of the Year, Corinne Hill of the Chattanooga Public Library. Thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you. It was a pleasure. Anytime.